Sorry, New York. Sorry, East Coast cities. Don't want to rub it in your face, but it is beautiful outside here in Chicago today. Nice sunshine, not too cold. And we are headed out to Naperville for our next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. Steve Cochran made a cameo appearance on our show today, earlier today. Steve Cochran will be doing his show live Friday, January 29th from 6 to 10 a.m. at the Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville. Come on out for their specialties there, the Very Berry Pancakes, at an exclusive price just for you during the broadcast. There'll be a side of ham because everyone from the morning show will be there, of course. But that'll be Friday, January the 29th, Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for more details. And the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. We're hoping to set up another one of these out-of-the-studio broadcasts for us here on the Sunday show. We had a couple of things planned, and then things fell through. But we're trying to, every once in a while, we like to take the show out and about, you know, to meet some of you. We had such a good time right before Christmas out at Treetime Creations out in Lake Barrington. Fantastic turnout, so we'd like to do it again sometime soon. So hopefully we'll be announcing that to you shortly. I wanted to spend a little bit of time today. We did early in the program when Andy Mazur was on with us in our Sunday sports preview at the beginning of the show, remembering the great Jack Brickhouse. I mean, if you think of the legendary names in Chicago history, period, but certainly legendary names on WGN television and radio, the name Jack Brickhouse has to be pretty close to the top of that list. Maybe one of the most versatile of the on-air voices that have become synonymous with WGN and therefore growing up in Chicago during his time here as a sports broadcaster. But he did so much more than sports. He interviewed presidents and world leaders, and you name it, Jack Brickhouse did it, becoming the voice of the Cubs. His statue is right behind us here outside of our Allstate Showcase studio window on Michigan Avenue, commemorating his great accomplishments in Chicago and on WGN. Jack Brickhouse would have turned 100 years old yesterday. And I just wanted to spend a little time remembering this wonderful broadcaster, the consummate professional, and really one of the nicest men that I've met in our, you know, the radio and television business. You know, when I started here at WGN in 1994, I think it was 1994, pretty sure, I'm sitting back in my office, just sitting back in my new office, you know, and the phone rings. And I pick up the phone. It's Jack Brickhouse on the phone. "Yeah, Dean, I just wanted to welcome you to the WGN family. And I've heard a lot about you. And just wanted to say I've heard great things. And, you know, if you have any questions." How nice is that of somebody? That's Jack Brickhouse. You know, he didn't need to call somebody to welcome them to the WGN family. But that's just the kind of man that he was. And was as nice and cordial and friendly as he was my very first day here, the entire time that I knew Jack Brickhouse, both on the air and off the air, couldn't have been nicer. And his legendary broadcast, I mean, if you grew up watching the Cubs or listening to the Cubs in Chicago, the voice of Jack Brickhouse bringing you occasionally great things for Wrigley Field, often a lot of heartbreak, as the famous Jack Brickhouse often said. Any team can have a bad century. That's a Jack Brickhouse quote. So I mean, there were a few highs and plenty of lows through the years that Jack brought us, but still always was an upbeat, optimistic voice of bringing us what was happening at Wrigley Field, and that included May 17th, 1979. That's the game between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago Cubs. The game that whose final score wound up being 23-22. Phillies wound up winning the game that went 4 hours and 3 minutes.
Let's don't come this close and then give them that big lead again. Ray Burris is up in the Cub bullpen. And the score now is 22-19. Rudy Maioli is up. The base runner at first is Jerry Martin. Steve Ontiveros is on second. He represents the tying run. The ball game is in the bottom of the eighth inning. 1-1. There's a ground ball bouncing in the left field. There's your scoreboard. The Phillies 22, the Chicago Cubs 22. Here's the run scoring as Barry Foote hits that ground single to left. And Ontiveros races home with Joey Amalfitano almost throwing his right arm out of joint, waving him around. Ball three, strike two. Here we go. Shakeoff may have been a fake. There's a high fly to left. Look out now. Look out. It's gone. It's a home run by Schmidt. Oh, brother. Mike Schmidt has just gotten his second home run of the day. And now the Phillies lead in this ball game by a score of 23-22. The 3-2 pitch, he was ready. Suter laid it in there and pow. Out of the ballpark, over the left center field wall. And that brings up Del Unser. Here it is, and he's ready for it. Scott Thompson took about four steps out there in center field and then realized that was a gone goose. Can I remind you that Buckner, Kingman, and Ontiveros can bat for the Cubs, and there's a drop third strike, there's the throw, and that retires the side. One run, one hit, no errors, nobody left as Mike Schmidt gets his second home run of the day. And here we go now to the bottom of the 10th inning with the score. Philadelphia 23, the Cubs 22.
Yeah, things did not get better for the Cubs that they lost that game. 23-22. But even in the sad moments like that, Brickhouse, holding our hand through the tough moments, the great things that happened, to hear him go crazy up in the booth. Was really special. Do you have favorite Jack Brickhouse moments, things that you remember most about this legendary figure on WGN, this legendary part of Chicago history, the great Jack Brickhouse? Remembering the great Jack Brickhouse. Yesterday would have been his 100th birthday, and we remember some of his great and legendary calls, but just some memories of the great Jack Brickhouse here. Phil, start it off. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hey. Dean, I was wondering, were you around when Jack played the announcer in Damn Yankees at Jerry Lane Oakbrook?
I remember that happening. I don't know that I actually saw it. He actually had a part in the play?
Yeah. In Damn Yankees, of course, there's, the ballpark announcer. And part of the cool thing about that show was that Jack, acquiesced, he agreed to do the part. And, I grew up, I think you saw and critiqued a bunch of shows I used to do when I lived in Chicago. And one of the cool draws was, having Jack there. And I got to meet him at the opening night party, and his beautiful wife was there with him. And he was just so down earth. I mean, he's like the guy that you saw on TV calling the game was, the guy that showed up and did the show every night.
Exactly.
And of course, I asked him for his autograph, and he was just all too happy to give it to me. And then, of course, introduced his wife standing next to him. And I just remember him being everything that you would have thought Jack Brickhouse was.
Exactly.
What he used to call people did and all that.
That's exactly right. About what year do you think that might have been?
Oh, Lord, it probably was mid to late 80s.
Mid to late 80s. Okay. Yeah, I remember reading about it. I wasn't even here at WGN that far back, but I remember reading about it and that Jack was somehow involved in it. But I'm not a bit surprised that, you know, that if you met him, he was like your best friend, because that's how he was to everybody. He was, you know, just the nicest guy. I remember when I was in my 20s. And just, you know, hanging out with some friends, and we went, a bunch of friends, we went just to Murphy's Bar, you know, just to have a couple of cold ones. Completely, you know, unrelated. There wasn't a ball game, anything. It might have even been wintertime. I don't even remember, but it was a quiet night at Murphy's. We're in there, a couple of buddies and I were having some beers. Brick House walks in. We are beside ourselves. How exciting is that? Jack Brickhouse walks in. He comes up and he's just talking to us. He bought us around, and couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Honest to goodness. Well, when you said that he called you, you know, and you got there and you're sitting in your office, that just brought a smile to my face, because, you know, honestly, I haven't thought about Mr. Brickhouse in a long time. But when you do, it brings a smile to your face.
It sure does.
And I think it's, you know, that you're commemorating his birthday, and I'm sure a lot of other people will have a lot of other nice things to say.
Yeah. Nicest memorial I think there can be for somebody is, you know, that we're sad that they're gone, of course, but when you smile, when you think about them and talk about them, that I think is about the nicest memorial that you can possibly have for somebody. Phil, thanks for the call. That's a great memory. Larry, you're on WGN. Hello.
Yeah, you're not old enough. I met Jack Brickhouse once at the old Marigold Gardens. Was wrestling matches back in the 50s.
Oh, right. He did and wrestling. He broadcast wrestling matches for WGN.
And that's when Chief Don Eagle and a bunch of these other old wrestlers, there was Bouncing Badino Gardini, who would literally bounce across the mat. But anyway, it must have been after Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving. I was about 12 years old, went with my dad and uncles, my grandfather. Must have been a guy's thing. And during the intermission, he asked the boys up to the mat to talk to him. And he asked, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want a chemistry set. And he says, what do you want to do, blow everything up? I don't know what I said. I never did get the chemistry set.
Because you know why? Because you would have blown everything up. That's why.
Well, but I never did get it. But that's when the old wrestlers, you know, we're at the old Marigold Gardens.
Yeah, I was never there, but I remember hearing about it. Would that have been like the Dick the Bruiser days?
That's even before that.
That was even before that. Wow. Okay. I think that's my early memory of the wrestlers. But that's just an example of everything that Brickhouse did at this place, including broadcasting wrestling. That's a great memory, Larry. Thank you very much. Hey, Mike, you're on WGN.
Hey, Dean, I love your show. I want to say two quick things. One, I'll never forget Ernie Banks' 500th homer. And the other thing, there was a gentleman in Chicago by the name of Ted List. And Ted List had an acting studio. As a matter of fact, Ted List was the gentleman that did all the training for Tom Bosley. Remember him with Happy Days?
Sure, Mr. C.
And Oscar D'Angelo owned the Civic Opera House. And Jack Brickhouse and Ted List were putting together what they call the Rejoice Repertory Theater Company. And what was interesting about it is they also got hooked up with a gentleman in London by the name of Dave Williams. And Jack Brickhouse played a humongous role in helping Ted List set that up.
How about that?
And it was, I thought telling you that little tidbit would be something right up your alley.
Yeah.
So I enjoy your show. Have a nice day.
Thank you. I never knew that about Brickhouse with the Civic Opera House. And speaking of that clip that you were talking about, Ernie Banks' 500th, it truly is one of the classic calls in Chicago baseball history.
Jarvis fires away. That's a fly ball. Beat the left. Back.
That's it. That's it! Hey! He did it! Ernie Banks got number 500! A line drive shot into the seats and left. The ball tossed in the bullpen. Everybody on your feet. This is it. Whee! Ernie Banks off Pat Jarvis, May 12th, 1970, second inning against the Atlanta Braves.